I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sinatra, somebody texting and had the Bobby Sockers. It's like back in his day. So it's like, well, no, because at that point, $4,000 would get you a house. Yeah. So I don't think it's a cult. I don't think there's anything like that about it. It's just, you know, it's the it factor, like you've been saying in the news. I don't know what it is, but she's got it. Well, let's see what Michael Glasser's got for us. President of Pano, been on a job, and I try to keep track of this, Captain, 46 years or 47?
I'm in year 48, John.
48. Well, we haven't spoken to you in a while, so there you go. Good morning to you, first of all. How you doing?
Good. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, sir. Let's talk about, you could be working this weekend, I presume, with the Taylor Swift crowd?
Oh, yes. I'll be at the Dome.
You know, I saw some things on social media about, and this is not what you came on for, but about Bourbon Street, the nicest, most polite crowd they've seen. You're not anticipating, I don't think NOPD is anticipating any problems from the fans at all, are they? That's not the Taylor Swift crowd?
No, the only problems we expect from fans is just the fact that there's so many of them and the traffic necessary to get people to and from the Dome. And just the large number of individuals that will be out there. But as far as a problem crowd, no, not at all.
Well, let me tell you, congratulations, 48 years on the job with NOPD. You're to be thanked and celebrated for that. Let's get on to your role as president of Pano and what's going on with Mayor Cantrell. And, Captain, if you will, give us some context on this, because I know the news story is about the promotions, but I think you need to tell us about the underpinnings of this and how it all works.
Well, you know, it's not a very complicated issue, but there are a lot of moving parts to it. The bottom line is the superintendent decided to give a captain's test, and for the first time in 34 years, a major's test. And we were all very happy about that. And
Hang on a second. Let's slow you down a little bit, okay, because I want to know this. You've been on a job 48 years. The first time a captain's test in how long?
First time a major's test in 34 years. Last major's test was in October of 1990.
Okay, and what about the captain's test? Does that come up more often? Or
that was about, I think the last one was 3 years ago.
Okay, so why the big delay in the major test? And tell me what the difference is in the ranks in NOPD and how it works and how all of that plays in to, and even the hierarchy, how that plays in the civil service. Because you're a captain, the next step up for you would be major?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. The way it works is the classified services. We have police officer, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, major, and then there are appointed positions of deputy chief and superintendent. Those are what's called unclassified and appointed positions. So within the classified service, it's major. And for a long time, they've allowed the position to atrophy. And as people retired, they never replaced them. They kind of wanted the position to disappear for whatever reason. I think that was a mistake, but that's what they wanted to do. And we had one major left, and as long as there was one left, they couldn't abolish the position. Mm-hmm. And we've been unsuccessful in dealing with most superintendents and trying to get a major's position. Superintendent Riley did it back in 2008. He brought it back briefly, but before he could give a test, he was replaced, and the next superintendent, Sir Paz, decided not to do it. And we had a position of commander, which was another legal battle that we had. And the bottom line is, it's been 34 years, but Superintendent Kirkpatrick decided to resurrect the position and issue a test. And so we had two tests at the same time, a captain's test and a major's test, both done procedurally the same way.
Did you take the major's test?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I am just wondering, you've been a captain how long?
17 years.
So you've been waiting to be a major, I guess. I don't know how long you're going to be a captain before you can take the test, but you've been waiting a long time to take this test, just as a case study, as an example.
That would be correct. In fact, I was one of the provisional majors back in 2008 before the position was again abolished by the superintendent. But We haven't had majors again since 1990 was the last promotion.
So there are major. There are no majors right now. The last one retired.
No, he's still there. There's one left.
Okay, so it's not abolished. The position hasn't been abolished yet, but they're on the road. That's what you're saying?
Well, they were trying to do that, but now that we've given a test and we can promote from that test, the position is still there. It's still valid. Our superintendent had said she wanted to promote two more majors for a total of three, and the position would be valid again.
Let me take a step back, Captain, if I can. Just so people understand, in terms of hierarchy of NOPD and job duties, take me from major to captain to lieutenant to sergeant, and I think we all know what a street officer, what a police officer does, but take me through the responsibilities of each and what the duties entail.
Sure. Obviously, the police officer is the officer on the street. They are supervised generally by sergeants, which may be both in detectives, maybe in special operations, or just uniform patrol. Sergeants are your first line supervisors. Your next line are lieutenants, who supervise the sergeants and the police officers. And then captains, who generally run districts or large squads within the detective bureau or other places, or things that are consistent or commensurate with a district command. Mm-hmm. And then when we had majors, we only had one now, but when we had majors, they would supervise groups of districts, and captains would report to the majors, or the majors would be assistant bureau chiefs right under a deputy chief.
For people that are listening,
deputy chiefs run all bureaus.
Wait, say, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Take me back to major. What happens above that?
Is a deputy chief, and they run the five bureaus that we have.
And those would be?
That would be the patrol bureau, basically, field operations bureau. That's basically uniform patrol services, and that encompasses all of them. Then there's basically the detective bureau, our investigative services bureau, which is basically the detective bureau. And then we have public integrity. We have what we used to call public accountability, which basically is a compliance bureau, which makes sure that we're following the consent decree. Mm-hmm. And then we have management services, which handles all of the fleet, academy, buildings, all of basically non-enforcement services. So there are five bureaus, each run by a deputy chief.
Got to tell you, I've been living here all my life, and I'm glad I took the time with this because I never did quite understand the hierarchy of NOPD. Now, for people that are listening, don't know about NOPD and say, you know what, that's top-heavy with management, tell me why you think it's important that they have, and then we're going to get to the mayor's actions in a minute, but why it's important that you have this chain of command and why it's important that you have majors and captains, et cetera.
Well, you definitely don't want the span of control for any particular supervisor to be excessive. Basically, what they've decided is approximately eight is the most you want to supervise one person to be supervising directly, not indirectly, but directly. And that's written into the consent decree so that you don't want a sergeant supervising more than eight police officers, because then you begin to lose the opportunity to interact and give them direct and effective supervision. And the same thing with lieutenants. You don't want to supervise more than eight sergeants. Same thing with captains. You don't want to supervise more than generally you have four or five lieutenants at most. But when you get to deputy chief, the deputy chief is supervising 20 captains, and there's only five of them. So to make it a little more a better hierarchy, you put in three or four majors, in like a major in each bureau, to assist with the supervision. And it just makes sense to do it. If you see it on a pyramid chart, you would see that it kind of makes sense to do that. And we just lacked that for a while. There was a time we had six or seven majors, but that was when we had 1,600 officers. Mm-hmm. Now we're down to 800-something, so we don't need quite that many.
When you say supervision, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this, but I'm just thinking about a regular management structure. Do sergeants review reports that officers write, and then from that point, lieutenants look at the reports, or are they primarily overview sergeants, or only get involved if there's a problem? Tell me about the day-to-day operations. I've always been curious about that.
Yeah, the latter would be more accurate. The sergeants generally are hands-on in terms of reviewing paperwork and showing up on scenes and handling the on-the-street and on-the-scene operations with lieutenants basically overseeing that operation, making sure that things are done. And sometimes the lieutenant will do the same thing, especially if they're short a sergeant or somebody doesn't show up or calls in sick. Lieutenant may operate pretty much like a sergeant does, but for the most part, their job is to oversee the sergeant and the patrol officers or the detectives if it's the detective squad.
So when you said 800-something now, is there a particular rank that's been affected more than others? Are sergeants leaving, lieutenants leaving, captains, or is it straight officers?
Oh, it's all up and down, all okay. up and down. You know, you can promote as much as you want. I mean, if you want to have 20 captains, you can make 20 captains. And if you want to do, you have 50 lieutenants, you can have 50 lieutenants. And if you want 200 sergeants, you can do that too. But what's ultimately going to suffer in the end is the police officer, because that's where you're drawing from. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's where it comes from. That's the entry level. So if you don't have enough in the entry level, you can promote up, but then you're short on the bottom end, and the bottom end is really the most important.
So as a captain, you're a supervisor. Do you still street patrol or not?
Well, the short answer is no, ordinarily. For most captains who are, let's say, a district commander, they're not going to be rolling out answering calls, but they do things and show up at scenes, major scenes, homicides or other major shooting scenes or other events that call for their attention. They will show up on civil disturbances, things like that. Most of the time, they're dealing with the civic groups. They're dealing with the overall management of the district. For somebody like me, for example, I have a number of units that are on the street that are in plain clothes, and some of which are generally undercover, and I will assist from time to time in that because we are shorthanded, so I will assist them from time to time, but that's unusual.
All right, let me take a break. An interesting glimpse inside the NOPD. We'll come back. We're talking to Captain Michael Glasser, 48 years on the job, about now what Mayor LaToria Cantrell has done about promoting people to major in, I guess, dispute with what the superintendent of the department, Ann Kirkpatrick, wants to do and how that happened or why. Back in a flash, you got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Tommy Tucker, Friday morning, WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:31, talking to Captain Michael Glasser, our friend. He's been on a job for 48 years with NOPD. He recently took the test to be a major, as did some others. First time major test been given in 34 years, Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick. And by the way, I presume, Captain, the rank and file, for the most part, happy with the superintendent? Not everybody's going to like everybody, of course, but generally speaking?
Yes, absolutely. Generally speaking, I think the attitude is very, very positive.
I think the city feels that way, too, and I think UNO did a poll that shows that. So let's talk about what happened here. So the major test is given. You and others take it. Then what happens from there for procedurally, and then what happened practically?
Well, basically, to make it real simple and keep it aerodynamic on this, the test has two parts. There's an assessment part that was handled by an outside company, and that's 50% of the grade done by civil service. Mm-hmm. And then there is an evaluation part of the candidate's job history, resume, disciplinary record, writing samples, yearly evaluations, things like that, that looks at the specific candidate in the background. That's done by a panel of three chiefs. And then the two grades are put together 50-50.
Wait, panel of three?
Come up with a single list.
Panel of three what, Michael?
Deputy chiefs.
Deputy chiefs, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, all right, so what happened here?
That's the way the test is structured. And we did a captain's test along with a major's test. Mm-hmm. Procedurally, they're identical. Obviously, the questions being asked are going to be slightly different because it's a different rank.
Right.
But the procedure is exactly the same.
So what happened in this case?
Well, eventually, the list came out from civil service, and then everybody submitted their packets for the deputy chief's review. That grade was issued, and the two grades combined to come up with a final list. And those lists were published. The captain's list and the major's list were published. And then, a short time later, about 10 days to 2 weeks The exact day, I don't recall, but about 10 days later, superintendent held a meeting and said, there's a problem with the second half of the test, and I can't promote using that second half because there's problems with it, and I can't promote directly from the civil service half because the CAO policy that governs how these tests are to be given requires me to use both halves. And if I can't use both halves, I have no option but to just allow the list to expire without making promotions. So, it's good for a year, so we'll just let it expire with no promotions to either list, and we'll see you next year.
So why couldn't you use the evaluation part?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. That was our question, is what was wrong with it? Mm-hmm. And at first we were told that there were complaints made about the administration of it and how it was done and how it was evaluated. But we never were told who made the complaints and what were the complaints. What was wrong with it? Why was it good for 10 days or 2 weeks and then suddenly it got bad? Mm-hmm. And then we were told, well, it was the mayor's office who received the complaints, and the mayor decided that we were not going to promote from this list, and the superintendent works for the mayor, so the superintendent was compelled to say we're not going to promote. And to this day, we don't know what the problem was with the second half of that test and why it was problematic. I mean, the city created this test, they administered the test, they graded the test, and then they said, nah, it's no good anymore. How did that happen?
Is that strictly the mayor's call to say at that point? I don't know how the whole rule system is set up.
Well, it's not really supposed to be. You know, that's the thing, and that's part of what the problem is with this, is our system is embedded in the Louisiana Constitution, and civil service actually provides the department with an eligibility roster from which the department is supposed to promote. The purpose of civil service is to eliminate political issues. So while the superintendent is subordinate to the mayor, really not supposed to interfere with that. That's really not the way that's supposed to work. And having a CAO policy that guides civil service is kind of the cart before the horse. It's not supposed to work that way. So that being said, the Black Organization of Police and the Police Association of New Orleans got together and filed a petition with civil service asking them to investigate how this test was done, whether it was constitutional, whether it was consistent with what civil service is supposed to be doing as the Constitution dictates, and find out what happened, because we can't seem to find out what exactly the problem was. It appears that the mayor just didn't like the outcome. And being unable to avoid promoting from it, just decided not to.
So do you know of anybody that complained about the process of how either the deputy chiefs that were involved or the process involved with the evaluations themselves? Have you gotten any word from anybody that was involved in a process at all of complaining about it or not involved?
Well, no. You know, we, meaning Pano, met with the BOP and the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, and all three organizations represent virtually 99% of the police department, and we discussed some issues, but we asked to meet with the superintendent. She was unavailable for personal reasons for a while, and then before we had a chance to meet with her and discuss any problems or if there were any problems, this came up where she announced there'd be no promotions. So we, as representatives of the department, we certainly didn't complain about it. And that doesn't prevent individual officers or other people from making complaints if that was the case. But usually when people make complaints, we investigate it. We see if there's any merit to it. We don't just, oh, somebody complains, so we scrap the test. It doesn't work that way. The city spent over $100,000 with these two tests. Why would you scrap it based on an alleged complaints? Wouldn't you investigate and see if the complaints had merit and see if there was some way of, if there was, and it had legitimacy, that perhaps we can fix it? But that wasn't what happened.
Let me read a quote from Rafael Goyeneche here, Metropolitan Crime Commissioner, from a NOLA.com article by Missy Wilkinson, very talented reporter. Raphael says the information we received was that the mayor interceded and thwarted the chief to not move forward with captains and majors, but was okay with allowing sergeant and lieutenant promotions. What that suggests is the mayor doesn't like the people most likely to be promoted based on their scores. When it comes to sergeants and lieutenants, are they? Is it the same 50-50 assessment and evaluation thing, Captain?
It's slightly different because they're not upper-level management, so the test structure itself is similar but not identical. And those tests were not given at the same time with the exact same procedure. You know, we don't use the exact same procedure all the time. Mm-hmm. Those tests evolve as department policies change, as laws change, as public mores change. We test slightly differently as we go along, and hopefully we improve the process as we do. So those tests were given last year and the year before, so they're going to be slightly different, but very similar.
Captain, I don't know if you want to get involved here, but let's cut the crap. This seems to me like the mayor saw the list and said, oh, hell no, absolutely not. After what I hear Jordan Fiegel tells me, Rafael Goyeneche is going to be on with Newell Norman later on at 10 o'clock. But it seems to me like the mayor saw the list, said, oh, hell no. I don't know if it goes back to the Vappy investigation. I don't know if it goes back to I don't know what. But it does seem as though that's what happened here. Do you want to weigh in or not?
Well, the thing I can tell you for certain is that we still don't know what was wrong with the second half of this test. The city did it. It was their test. It was their evaluation. And for a period of time, it was fine. And then suddenly it wasn't. And nothing changed except the mayor's review of the test. And while we don't know what was wrong with it, and nobody made any effort to tell us or find out what was wrong with it, the only thing we're left with is that the mayor decided not to promote from it, and the superintendent confirmed that he was told not to. So why did the mayor do that? That's the big question, and that I can't speculate on. You know, we can only assume she didn't like the outcome.
So what's your next
step? That's the only thing we can assume, and that's our assumption on it.
So what's your next step? This is supposed to be civil service. It's supposed to be, you know, you take the test, the top scorers are recommended for promotion. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's the way it works?
That's the way it's supposed to work.
All right. So what right of appeal do you have, or what does civil service say about all of this? Because you talked about it
being
in the Constitution.
Well, that's the whole point. Tommy, we just filed 2 days ago, we just filed a petition with civil service asking for them to conduct an evidentiary hearing and an investigation into the promotional practice that we are currently using. Okay, and I'll add one more little thing to this. We were operating that bifurcated system that I described to you, where we do an assessment on one half and then an evaluation of the candidate's background on the other half, was consistent with a CAO policy established in 2021. Well, oddly enough, that policy was in place when we did these two tests, but 2 days after the list was released, that policy was rescinded. And I don't know why that is either. Okay. Now, we had some questions as to whether or not that was constitutionally correct, but why was it rescinded 2 days after the test? Why not 2 days before the test?
Let me ask it a different way.
That would solve some problems. So we're asking civil service to conduct an evidentiary hearing and an investigation to determine whether or not the procedures that we are using and have been used are constitutional and consistent with the law.
Real quick, how's morale under Ann Kirkpatrick, the new superintendent, generally speaking?
Generally speaking, it's very high.
All right. Thank you, Captain. Appreciate your time. Hope you come back as we talk more about this. So basically, I know we got to go, but Ann Kirkpatrick comes in. The city loves her. NOPD loves her. She institutes the captain and the majors tests. Everything's going fine until LaToya gets a hold of it, and then the whole thing goes to hell. And the first thing this woman's got to understand, LaToya, is that when you're in a hole, stop digging. 942, 18 till 10, traffic now, WWL. You hear that? You know what those are? Those are fire engines. You know why? Because JR is on fire with taking Vegas and his free picks. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing outstanding, Tommy. Happy Football Friday to everybody down in Louisiana. Guys, it is time to make some money. I'm going to tell you right now, This is going down as one of my top plays of the week. We've got LSU taking on Texas A&M. Usually it's just a marketing game that
Hang
I've
on,
got
another one's going by,
guys.
JR. Another one's going by, another fire truck. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Look out.
Yeah.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Go ahead. You're on fire with your picks. Tell me about Texas A&M and LSU.
Again, this is not just one of those marketing picks. We absolutely love the game. We're using it at a very high level for all of our clientele. So I'm going to give it out free right now to everybody in Louisiana. Guys, all you got to do is text the word WIN to 545454. Get the winner of LSU Texas A&M absolutely free via text message. Again, text the word WIN to 545454. And on top of this winner between LSU and A&M, guys, I've got my college football game of the year going down this weekend. And by texting the word WIN to 545454, you'll get the LSU Texas A&M game absolutely free via text message. And you'll have also an opportunity for the bonus game, our college football game of the year. All you got to do, text the word WIN to 545454, and let's make you some money this weekend.
JR, this is not about, you know, we talk about this every week. This is not about, you know, your team colors, your heart. The color is green, as in money. It's all about information. It's all about math. It's all about the way the book is balanced. What people get from you is information and insider information that they will not get from anybody else. Is that inaccurate at all?
I will take one word out of that, insider information. Okay. Really what we do, we don't need inside information. We've got such a great crew of people, and we know how to break it down. We've got guys that have access, that's what I would call it,
okay,
that give us a little bit more of an edge, right? We're looking to tip the scales in our direction, but we don't do anything we're not supposed to do. We've got
no, I didn't
a
mean
phenomenal
imply that.
Crew. I mean, that's okay. Listen, that's okay. Got guys all the time, they'll call up and they'll say things like, oh, you guys got the inside scoop. No, we don't need to have inside information to win. I mean, I just went over yesterday with one of my biggest clients, hitting 76% with me so far this year. And he even said to me, he's like, I never thought anything like this was even possible. This guy's betting $50,000 a game. So, I mean, look, if you guys are serious about making money, or at least if you're tired of losing and donating to the sports book and you really want a chance to win, and you can, you know, treat this like a business, and that doesn't mean open up and put all your life savings into it, because I say this all the time, it's still gambling. You're still betting on games at the end of the day. We're going to lose games. We're not going to hit 100%. So if you want to do it right, take whatever bit of bankroll you were going to play around with and entertain yourself with this year, consolidate it, let us know what you're working with, and we'll map out a game plan depending on the amount that you're working with that makes sense, customized to your situation so that you can see the growth firsthand. We're not going to double up on every game. That's stupidity. You got to do things right. We have strategies in place for every bankroll imaginable, and we're able, you know, we're literally going to do this just one game at a time. It's not going to be, hey, you got a $2,000 or $5,000 bankroll, we're tripling it this weekend. It's not like that. We're going to make decisions based on groups of games at a time. We make increases based on how much we're winning, and sometimes you got to pull back if a game don't go your way. So again, text the word WIN to 545454. Get this winner between LSU and A&M absolutely free. Again, free right now via text message, LSU against A&M. All you got to do is text the word WIN, guys, to 545454.
How many times have we heard the difference between winning and losing in the NFL is razor thin? It goes to knowledge and preparation and strategy, and that's what you're talking about with Taking Vegas, right?
No question about it. I can't tell you, by the way, Tommy, how many great clientele, how many great clients I get from, you know, from Louisiana who have that mindset. Who, you know, hey, listen, I haven't been betting very long, but I see that, you know, you're winning nonstop, and I like the way you're talking about, you know, treating this more like a business and having some strategy rather than just shooting from the hip. I mean, let's face it, college football, college basketball, the NIL, everyone's a free agent. It's nearly impossible to keep up with the sport unless you have experts on your side that actually know what they're doing. So, I mean, this is what we do, right? I've got the best crew in the business. I'm not just some quarterback who just won a game getting interviewed. I'm being truthful. I've got the best guys in the business. I'm as successful as I am, and I win like I do because of the people that I've got on my staff. We've had so many years to find the right guys and put them in place, and I don't work at all. I love what I do. I make people money, hand over fist. We're 8-0 on air. If I'm 8-0 on air, what do you think we're doing behind the scenes? I mean, we are absolutely crushing the sports books, and they don't mind paying us because they're making so much money off the public right now. The public's been getting destroyed this year. This past weekend, best weekend that the public's had this year. A lot of the very obvious games wound up coming in, which is, you know, that's not good for the sports books. But week after week, it's been surprise after surprise. Look at last night. You think anybody bet the LA Rams to beat the Minnesota Vikings after the Vikings were undefeated until last week? So, you know, sports books are cleaning up, Tommy, plain and simple.
All right, 8-0 on a free picks. I was kidding you last week saying with your free picks, I'm going to build a lake house and I'm going to invite you over. You got a free pick this week?
Of course. We're going to do it again once more for everyone listening. This is going to make us 9-0 because this is about as easy as it gets. Buffalo Bills are on the road taking on the Seahawks in Seattle. Two very high-powered offenses. Buffalo now, you know, with the addition of Cooper, the fact that they've been slinging the rock and they have a real run game this year, Josh Allen not making any mistakes throwing the football like he has years past. This Seattle team has thrown the football over 300 times already this year, number one in the league for slinging the rock. This is going to be way over the posted total. The total on this matchup right now, 46.5. My estimation is it will be 47.5 to 48 by the time we get to kickoff. So go over 46.5 now on the Bills-Seahawks game. That's going to get us to 9-0.
Take us out, JR.
Guys, it's about making money. All you got to do, text the word WIN to 545454. Get the winner of LSU Texas A&M absolutely free via text message, plus the bonus game, guys. We're going to give you a shot to be able to get our college football game of the year as well. Text the word WIN to 545454. Again, I don't like it. I love this matchup. LSU A&M free via text message. Text WIN to 545454. As always, guys, be safe. Tommy, have fun and go out there and make some money.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.